We are looking at a series of bright lights in a dark place. And the dark place is that northern kingdom of Israel after the death of Solomon, when Rehoboam became the king of Judah, and indeed of all Israel to start with, but the 10 tribes, or basically 9, because the tribe of Simeon had dissipated and really been absorbed into Judah, but all apart from Judah and Benjamin departed and chose Jeroboam, who was a devious and a dubious character, to be their king. And the bright light which we're thinking about today is a prophet called Ahijah. Last week we considered the anonymous prophet. Well, he came from Judah. He came from the south and he went into the north, which was no mean thing, to go into the north and to go to the idol which Jeroboam was burning incense at, and to declaim against that altar and to say that it was going to be destroyed and that the kingdom of Israel would indeed disappear. Well, Ahijah has appeared in the history previously. He was the prophet who, back in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, came to Jeroboam and he tore his new cloak, his own new cloak, into 12 pieces. He gave 10 to Jeroboam, warning him against leading his 10 tribes that he would be taking into sin. Well, now he's in Shiloh. Shiloh is mentioned many times in the Old Testament. It's where Samuel came to the temple before the temple was built in Jerusalem in the days of Solomon. And there was a temple in Shiloh, and Samuel came there when Eli was the priest. Today it's Kirbet Silon, which I won't try and spell, but it's a place which is about 14 kilometres north of Bethel, where the second of the golden calves was set up. And Bethel, I believe, still is the name that is used today in that area. You might remember that the people of the 9 tribes, they were told that it was too far for them to go into Jerusalem to worship. That was Jeroboam's way of saying, I really don't want you going back near to where the true worship of God is, in case you get drawn back into it and I lose your loyalty. But he told them it was because it was too far for them to go. They couldn't make a journey every month or so into Jerusalem. Why? With costs and everything else. Why? No, worship here. These are your gods which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So the people towards the north had a golden calf in Dan, and the people further south, much nearer the truth, much nearer Jerusalem, they had a golden calf in Bethel. So last week our bright light in a dark place was an anonymous prophet who cried against the altar. But after this thing, that's the encounter with the anonymous prophet and all that followed, we read here in chapter 14, we read that Jeroboam had a son. And at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. The sad thing from the end of the previous chapter was that even after all the events, we read Jeroboam returned not from his evil way. But again he made of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him. Anyone that came along and said, oh, I wouldn't mind being a priest, he said, well, yes, you can be a priest then. And he became one of the priests. And this thing became sin to the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off, to destroy it from the face of the earth. But still he didn't repent. He didn't turn to the Lord. And at that time, chapter 14, verse 1, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam made a strange decision. He decided that his wife should go, rather than him, to Ahijah the prophet, the one who had told him that he was going to be the king over the 10 tribes, to go to her in disguise. He was not a repentant man. He faces family tragedy now We're not told how serious the sickness of the child was, but it must have been pretty serious, and eventually it was his death. But Jeroboam thought about it, and he remembered one man. He remembered this faithful prophet who had appointed him as king. Now, he, Jeroboam, had appointed priests out of the dregs of his society. And there were false prophets aplenty in Israel at that time. But he consulted Ahijah. When he really wanted to know the truth, he sent his wife to Ahijah. We live in that sort of day. We need to turn people's attention to the Bible and Bible-believing churches. Just like Jeroboam, we've set up those in religious places in our land who will say what men want them to say. What people want to hear is what the average minister will come up with in his sermon this morning or this evening or his little talk. But surely in a day of pandemic proportions, such a plague upon our world, surely it's time for you to consult the truth, to listen, not to this denominational leader or that bishop, but to those who look to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, and seek counsel from those that know the truth and from the Word of God. Well, Jeroboam sent to the right person. It was a true prophet who was being consulted, but a very disappointing request. Jeroboam doesn't go to Ahijah himself. He sends his wife, and he sends a food parcel as well, as a sort of bribe, I suppose, something to say, well, we really would like to give you something. Can't be easy being a prophet at such a time as this. And he doesn't ask for the prophet's prayers, or if the child's sickness was a result of the golden calves and all the sin he brought into Israel. He doesn't ask if it's too late to repent and destroy the idolatry of the people. He merely asks Ahijah to tell him his fortune. What's going to happen? Just go and find out what will happen to the child. His big concern is that Ahijah doesn't realise that the king has come to ask it through his disguised wife. He's ashamed, he's embarrassed to go to the true prophet, having been told by him that God would bless his kingdom if he was faithful to the truth and did not turn to idolatry. He just asks, what's going to happen to my child? It's more fortune-telling than seeking spiritual help. Many people during this pandemic have doubtless asked questions, but not necessarily the right questions. Why has this judgment come upon us? And somewhat in disguise, you wait to know, but you're embarrassed to be seen asking, because it's there in the back of your mind. Is this a judgment from God because of the way that we've lived as a nation and as a world? Well, he receives a faithful reply. To summarise, Ahijah is forewarned by God. God will not leave his faithful people to be deceived. It was obvious to Bible-believing Christians as soon as the pandemic spread that God was warning us. He was warning the world that for the most part true believers would not be the victims, that despite the kind and faithful warning to repent, men and women, even in the days of the COVID crisis, they wouldn't forsake their sins, they would pursue them all the more. We were aware of that. It was something that the Word of God tells us. And he doesn't leave us in the dark. He doesn't let the world disguise itself before us. Ahijah's wife was exposed. Verse 6, it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. And she must have thought, all the time it took me to put this disguise on, and he hasn't even looked at me yet, and he realizes who I am. And he was nearly blind. Ahijah had appalling eyesight. He was not a young man, but he knew, because God was able to go beyond the eyes of the blind. Why feignest thou? Why do you pretend to be another? This too was a mercy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Why are you disguising yourself? Come. Come seek the Lord. This is the very best counsel that we can give right now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You must seek the Lord, but be aware, he knows exactly who you are. You can't pretend, you can't hide behind. Even our face coverings don't hide us from God. So, as the sceptical but sincere disciple in John 1, Bartholomew, who came and he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But as soon as the Lord revealed himself and showed that he knew him, knew and he'd seen him under the fig tree, talking to his brother, he says, "You're a great prophet come from God." If you will call on the Lord, as you really must, be sure he knows you better than you know yourself. Here it was a prophet, a servant who knew, because the Lord knew and forewarned him. And bad news is conveyed. You know, years later, there was a king called Ahab, and we're going to be thinking about him in a week or two. But he had a prophet in the immediate vicinity in Samaria called Micaiah. And on one occasion, the godly king Jehoshaphat came up to visit Ahab, and Ahab said, "Are you going to come out and fight with me and join with me in the battle?" And he said, "Yes, I'll go with you. We'll fight against the common enemy." And they were just going, and Jehoshaphat, who did know the Lord, he said, "Well, haven't you got a prophet? Shouldn't we ask the Lord before we go into battle?" And so he gets all his prophets to come out and dance around give their false prophecies and say how successful they were going to be. And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, that's all very well, but haven't you got a proper prophet? Haven't you got one that actually believes in the Lord?" And Ahab gave himself away big time. He said, "Well, there is one true prophet, Micaiah, but I hate him because he always prophesies evil concerning me." He didn't want to hear the bad news, only the good news. And that's what happens here. Here is Ahijah, and she's come and she wants to hear good news. And Jeroboam, who sent her, he wanted to hear good news. But all Ahijah would do was tell her what the Lord had told him. Just faithfully conveying what the word of God says, even when it's hard hitting. I'm conscious when we pick out two readings for the Sunday morning or Sunday evening service that sometimes they end on a note of woe and judgment, and I think, well, there must be friends here that think, couldn't you pick something a little bit lighter, a bit nicer? But you know, the bad news is bad news, and we do have to read it. We try to bring in as much as we can of the joy of forgiveness and salvation. I always like a reading when it ends with, "But the Lord is victorious." But we can't always do that, and here today Jeroboam has sent, and his wife wanted the prophet to say, "Relax, your son will recover." Instead, the truth, he will die. As soon as she got home and entered her own house, the child did indeed pass away. But two more observations here. He says, "I am sent to thee with heavy tidings." Surely the wife of Jeroboam had come to Ahijah. No, she'd made a journey when God was already sending her his word. He said, "I am sent to you." Well, she'd come and she'd made that long journey to go and see him. And she's told, "No, I've come to you." Because no matter where she was, the word of God travelled and travelled to her and told her what God wanted to know. But the second thing is very intriguing. In verse 12, "Thy child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing." And it's intriguing because we wonder what good thing was found in this child of Jeroboam. What was it that the Lord saw in this child of Jeroboam which made him think, well, there's something good in this child, in this young boy? No matter how old he was, we don't know, but he must have been old enough to have thought it through. It must have been a child that as he saw the golden calf worship, like most children, he'd say, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you worship a golden calf? You might as well worship a donkey. Why a golden calf? And isn't there something in our history about the Jews losing the promised land because they worshipped a golden calf? Some good thing towards the Lord was found in this boy. He, of all his family, began to think, I need to trust the Lord. He died. But if the Lord found some good thing in him, and it was grace, then he alone of Jeroboam's family was ultimately saved and went to heaven. We believe that. The Lord can take one person in a family and implant grace in their hearts, and no matter what happens, they belong to the Lord. Some good thing towards the Lord God of Israel was found in the house of Jeroboam in this child. So we may take it that however young you are, if you've shown some dislike for the calf worship, in other words, you don't like the idolatry, if you see some good in seeking the Lord and asking him to save you, well, the Lord will hear that and he'll call you to himself and give you that joy and that peace of knowing him. Could be that the object of God's judgment through illness was the only member of Jeroboam's family received into heaven as a soul saved by the blood of Jesus Christ years before Jesus even came to earth. So you go to church, what do you want to hear? Just good news? All is well. Be kind to people. And heaven is yours. Or would you like to hear the truth? The truth is, until such time as you're right with God, when you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the axe of God's righteous judgment hangs over your head. My next point is this: a people given up. How sad to be a person given up by God. A person that God says, I won't help you anymore. I won't try and save you anymore. Verse 16, this is all part of Ahijah's prophecy. He shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. What an epitaph. You know, an epitaph is what they write on your grave, and they say, this lad was a good lad and he went to church every Sunday, or this lad always dressed nicely, or something like that. And it could be on your epitaph at the end. But what a bad epitaph to have. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the man who made Israel to sin. And you know, many, many times in the books of Kings and Chronicles it says, just like Jeroboam who made Israel to sin. Would you want that to be your epitaph? Not only did you sin, but you made others sin as well. You led them, perhaps your family, perhaps your friends. What an epitaph that would be. When God gives you up, the Bible represents God as giving us opportunity after opportunity to repent, to find peace with him through Jesus Christ. But Romans 1, we read earlier on, tells us that there came a time when God gave men up. He gave them up to uncleanness because of the very things which have brought the pandemic upon us, the very sins which we have allowed, and not only allowed, but encouraged and taught to be natural and right and even preferable to God's natural way. Don't you see that there's every reason why God would judge us in the way that he has? Not only England, not only Britain, not only Europe, but the world has given itself over to sin. When God gives us up. But then when God provides a last hope, a bright light in a dark place, for the people of the north, God didn't give them up entirely. He still sent bright lights to shine in that dark place. Some came from Judah up to preach to them. Others were born there and stayed and wonderfully preserved their faith by trusting the Lord and being a bright light in a dark place. We're living in a very dark place, and it's time for you and I to make sure that the light is switched on and very, very bright. Someone who will tell you the truth. For us, it's the Lord Jesus Christ will always tell us the truth, and we can find everything he says in the Bible. And those churches who preach the gospel, well, it's a dark place in England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.